Today is Friday, the 8th of July, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Coming your way today, police officers are targeted and killed in Dallas, Texas.
We're hurting. Our profession is hurting.
The attack brings many questions, as you just heard, about race relations in the United States. Also ahead, President Obama attends the NATO summit in Warsaw. We check in with VOA's Luis Ramirez, who is there. And scientists get a new look at the Big Bang Theory. All that and more on today's International Edition. Dallas police in Dallas, Texas say three suspects are in custody. A fourth is dead hours after at least one gunman killed five police officers during a coordinated attack on a peaceful demonstration. Seven officers and two civilians were wounded in the ambush. It happened last night, Thursday evening, during a protest against the killing of two black men by white police officers, one in Minnesota, another in Louisiana. City and law enforcement officials are remaining tight-lipped about who the suspects are, but in a news conference Friday morning, Dallas Police Chief David Brown said one suspect, who was later killed in an intentional explosion set off by police, told a police negotiator that he wanted to kill white people, especially white police officers. The suspect, whose name is being withheld by VOA, also indicated he was upset about recent police shootings and said he was not affiliated with any groups. The man was killed after negotiations with police broke down. Police used a bomb robot to detonate an unspecified explosive device near him. Parts of downtown Dallas remain cordoned off. An emotional Dallas Police Chief David Brown called for healing.
We're hurting. Our profession is hurting. Dallas officers are hurting. We are heartbroken. There are no words to describe the atrocity that occurred to our city. All I know is that this must stop, this divisiveness between our police and our citizens.
President Barack Obama took time out from his meetings during the NATO summit in Warsaw, Poland, to express his feelings about the shootings.
We still don't know all the facts. What we do know is that there has been a vicious, calculated, and despicable attack on law enforcement. Police in Dallas were on duty during doing their jobs, keeping people safe during peaceful protests. These law enforcement officers were targeted, and nearly a dozen officers were shot. Five were killed.
Officials say the attackers had intended widespread damage, and a suspicious package has been secured by the city's bomb squad. We welcome to International Edition VOA's Greg Flakes, who joins us from Houston, Texas. And Greg, this does bring up a lot of questions as to what was behind this, how many shooters there were. What can you add to all this?
Well, at this point, of course, we really don't know much more than what the police have said. Even some of those suspects that they're talking about, we don't know whether they really were involved or not. There may have just been one shooter. It'll take some time to get that sorted out. We had one incident where the police did arrest somebody or detain someone briefly who turned out to not be involved.
Well, this for people who are not following this story, this followed a couple of attacks over the past week. One, as we said, in Louisiana, the other in Minnesota, shooting of black men by white police officers. And we should, again, say that this was a peaceful protest in Dallas, Texas, of those two shootings before this happened. Now, you heard the Dallas police chief said something has to be done, and President Obama saying that something has to be done. Where does this go from here? Where does this put us all? I know these are very difficult, broad odd questions to answer, and I don't even, I know I couldn't, but can you have any answers or solutions to it?
Well, yes, I've spoken to some police officer and some people representing the police union in Texas, and what they point out is that there are deep divisions in the country that contribute to this kind of problem. There are situations where police officers feel under threat, perhaps, you know, from hindsight or from looking at the facts later. A reasonable person would think, well, they shouldn't have been so frightened. But when you're that person on the line and you've seen incidents like this one in Dallas take place, you know, it's just going to make the officers even more wary of anybody that they approach. Now, there has been, of course, a disproportionate number of black people who've been killed in these shootings. And that, of course, is the core of the problem. That's why there was a march in Dallas. But the police in Dallas who were there assisting to keep the peace during the march were not wearing gear. They were dressed in their normal police uniforms. And Dallas had really done a good job, according to most people, in terms of having the outreach and having good relations with the community.
Well, we'll see if more conversation ensues from this. One would think that it would. Greg, thanks so much for being with us. VOA's Greg Flakes joining us live from Houston. Andrew Palshevsky is here, International Edition's social media guru, and this has to be all over social media, I would imagine.
Absolutely. It started out with hashtag Dallas, and now it's hashtag Dallas police shooting that's the top trending hashtag in the U.S. And this incident last night really has changed things. It's caused a lot of fear, a lot of calls for calm and peace. People are really scared that this is a moment that is going to lead to an escalation. And so you see a lot of people expressing that concern, a lot of people calling for calm, and a lot of statements of expression that we're all human, regardless of race or religion or those kind of things that tend to divide us in many people's minds. That we're all human, and so it's a tragic loss of life for the police officers, for Philando Castile, for Alton Sterling, and all of those emotions are kind of boiling together within social media.
Are you seeing any, you have seen some, but I mean, how many incendiary items are there on social media? Hopefully not that many.
Well, the unfortunate thing, or actually, I'll say this. The fortunate thing about social media is that it is an open place for people to express themselves. It is the ultimate vehicle of free speech. And a part of that free speech that we do see are some of these incendiary comments. I think what we tend to see is that those comments kind of get shut down, not shut down by the social media networks themselves, but by other people who address those comments and try to fight back against them. So we do see people expressing different opinions about these cases, about the issues of race, of policing, and it does come from both sides of this issue. But the vast majority of the messages that I'm seeing are ones where people are saying, let's all be humans, let's try to love each other, let's be peaceful, let's be calm, and let's try to move past this and not focus on these things that divide us.
Well, all we can hope is that remains the majority and has some kind of positive effect, because this is a pretty dangerous period of time here in the United States for people listening overseas.
Absolutely. And I will say that I think that the power of social media could be a way to calm some of these tensions that are bubbling up. I think that it could be a valuable tool to help with that.
Well, we usually have some lighter issues on a Friday when we have this program, but I think today probably is not going to warrant that.
No, I don't think so.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Andrew Palshevsky joining us. By the way, how do people get in touch with you?
They can find me on Twitter at APAL, APAL.
Andrew Palshevsky here on International Edition. Among the stories being covered by VOA today, a sniper attack in Dallas, Texas leaves five police officers there dead and many questions being asked. The U.S. president has joined other leaders at a NATO summit in Warsaw. You'll hear more about that momentarily. Gunfire erupts in South Sudan's capital today, a day after a shootout between opposing army factions kills five soldiers. The U.S. and South Korea have announced plans to deploy the Terminal High Altitude Area Defense, or THAAD, missile system on the Korean Peninsula, and a typhoon slams into Taiwan and heads to China. Expanded coverage of these stories and more on voanews.com, our website, and our VOA mobile app. This is International Edition, and this is VOA.
Here's Science in a Minute.
A group of astronomers say they have found a tiny, distant galaxy that has the lowest level of metals that has ever been detected. They added that their finding could provide new insight into the Big Bang, the explosive creation of the universe nearly 14 billion years ago. Astronomer and professor John Souser says that low-metal galaxies are among the very few most promising ways to learn more about the conditions of the universe at its birth. Nicknamed Leoncino, or Little Lion, the faint blue galaxy is located in the Leo Minor constellation, some 30 million light years from Earth. It's thought that stars formed 100 to 200 million years after the Big Bang were mostly made of hydrogen and helium. Heavier elements were produced later by the stars themselves in a nuclear fusion process called stellar nucleosynthesis. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
You're in tune with International Edition from the Voice of America. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. U.S. job creation surged in June, a net gain of 287,000 jobs across the world's largest economy. That is hundreds of thousands more than the prior month and stronger than most economists had predicted. That has led to a resurgence of sort on Wall Street, at least it did earlier on. Standing by in our New York bureau is International Edition's Jill Malandrino. Jill, still up?
Opened up higher this morning, and we have not looked back since. In fact, we're trading just around the highs of the day today. Based on that spectacular employment report, these numbers were way above consensus, and one of the strongest beats in years. And this also follows a bullish ADP employment report that we saw on Thursday. In other markets, crude oil was trading higher as it trimmed its largest weekly decline in 5 months. Meanwhile, gold is set for its first two-day drop since the Brexit referendum. You're starting to see investors come back into the market with risk on assets such as stocks and moving a little bit away from the safe haven assets such as gold. So now what we're going to start to focus on, and this will be a nice welcome change from Brexit and interest rate talk, the unofficial start of earnings season starts on July 11th when Alcoa reports after the market close. And then we really start it on Thursday and Friday when we see the big banks like JP Morgan, Citibank, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs start to report. According to S&P Global Market Intelligence, only 4 of 10 S&P 500 sectors are projected to have positive earnings growth, including consumer discretionary, industrials, utilities, and healthcare. The energy sector is expected once again to post the largest decline in growth. Other sectors with large declines include financials, materials, and information technology. But based on where we're trading right now, we had a great manufacturing report this week, 2 solid employment reports. The U.S. is being viewed as a safe haven relative to other markets. We're really starting to see that flow come back into the stock markets.
So it's almost the case that Brexit is proving positive for U.S. commodities. Is that correct?
Right.
And U.S. stocks.
Right, because we're seeing more stability here relative to a European market or the emerging markets. And not even that, there's really no other place to put your money if you're looking for yield, like bonds or money markets. The U.S. Stock market, you have healthy dividend payers in the utility and telecom sectors where you can get 3%, 4%, 5% return on your investments in a relatively more stable market. You have to find that yield somewhere, especially as we're starting to see more and more baby boomers start to retire, and they need that income.
Yep. Jill, always a pleasure to talk with you on Fridays, and we'll do it again next week.
All right. Have a great weekend.
You too. Jill Malandrino, our International Edition. I guess she's our financial guru, like Andrew is our social media guru. And this is VOA.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Join me and 2 advocates from the world of politics, public policy, or academia, debating critical and controversial issues of our day, bringing depth, perspective, and insight to the world around us. You can listen to Encounter on Saturdays and Sundays. That's Encounter every Saturday and Sunday on the Voice of America.
You lead a busy life? Not always able to catch your favorite VOA radio or TV program? If you are keen to stay in touch with world news and events, give VOA Podcasts a try.
VOAnews.com.
Visit our website at VOAnews.com to learn how you can become a subscriber to VOA Podcasts and keep your life up to date.
VOA News, your trusted source for news and information.
VOA's International Edition continues now. It's being called the most critical NATO summit since the end of the Cold War. U.S. President Barack Obama began 2 days of crucial meetings in Warsaw today, with Brexit at the top of his agenda and concerns of what the departure of NATO's other heavy hitter, Britain, from the EU will mean for the security alliance. Joining us live from Warsaw is VOA Chief European Correspondent Luis Ramirez. What's being said about that British departure from the EU, and how is it being received?
Well, a great deal of concern, Ira, as you can imagine. This is one of the big members of NATO, one of the support pillars, if you would, of NATO. And so President Obama offering reassurances of U.S. support for the process of transition. He said that he is confident that they will, the EU and Britain will take pragmatic steps to ensure that that transition is smooth. Of course, it has very little bearing on the surface on NATO, because the EU and NATO are two separate entities, but still a great deal of uncertainty. And that was the very first thing that President Obama did in Warsaw on Friday. That was his first meeting, was with EU officials to just offer some support and some encouragement for this process to go smoothly.
What other issues have been covered today?
Well, look, the very biggest issue is that of Russia. The issue of Russia's involvement in Ukraine, well, that situation has not progressed at all. Russia remains firmly entrenched in eastern Ukraine and in Crimea. But what is a big, big headache for NATO right now is the threat that Moscow is presenting to the Baltic states and to Poland. We're talking about the eastern flank of NATO. And the alliance has been hearing complaints from Baltic nations, Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, who joined NATO. These are former Soviet republics that made a big decision to come over to NATO because of the protections that NATO offered it against potential aggression from Russia. Now, in recent years, seeing Putin moving into first Georgia and then Ukraine, they fear that they are next. And they have been applying for the last couple of years a great deal of pressure on the alliance to do more to protect them. They said they sacrificed a great deal. They know what it's like to be under Russian domination. They don't want it to happen again. Today, we saw a very big step with the U.S. saying that the alliance is moving from serving the purpose of reassurance to a posture of deterrence. The big question comes up: are we seeing is this the first day of the second Cold War?
VOA's Luis Ramirez joining us live from Warsaw, covering the NATO summit. Have a good weekend, Luis, but you'll be working hard, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, a lot more to go here in Warsaw this weekend. Thank you, Ira.
Take care. This is International Edition. One of the stars of the Broadway smash Hamilton, Leslie Odom Jr., is leaving the show, but fans of the actor and singer who played Aaron Burr in the Tony Award-winning show can still enjoy his talent at another venue, his self-titled jazz album. That David Byrd tells us, Odom brings his vocal range to jazz standards by Jerome Kern, Jules Stein, and Frank Lesser.
Leslie Odom Jr. is riding a wave of success. As Aaron Burr, the rival to Lin-Manuel Miranda's Alexander Hamilton in the smash musical Hamilton, Odom won the Tony for Best Leading Actor in a Musical. But now he is leaving the blockbuster show and has just released his self-titled jazz album. It includes 10 classic songs, including Jerome Kern's Look for the Silver Lining, Jules Stein's The Party's Over, and Joey, Joey, Joey from Frank Lesser. Odom says he wanted to create something that would not only entertain people, but would also lift their spirits.
Because as an actor, especially through this Hamilton process, you know, I've thought about empathy more this year than at any other time in my life. And so there was a consciousness about singing something that might encourage somebody at a really hard time.
The actor, singer, and dancer said one of his favorite tunes is Nobody Knows You When You're Down and Out, a blues standard written in 1923 by Jimmy Cox and covered by such greats as Bessie Smith, B.B. King, and Eric Clapton.
You know, Nobody Knows You When You're Down and Out was one of my favorite songs on the thing. And I loved singing it now because I'm so far from down and out. And so I feel like, but I remember being down and out so well.
Mighty strange, but without a doubt, nobody knows you when you're down.
Leslie Odom Jr. says that being part of the Hamilton cast is something he will always remember and will always be thankful for.
I'm very, very grateful to be associated with, you know, with something that has meant this much to people and just something that I can be proud of because it didn't have to go this way. I could have been on some, you know, it just could have gone many other different ways.
The party's over. Time to call it a day. They burst a pretty balloon and taken the moon away. It's time to wind up.
Odom says he will miss his castmates, but is excited to see who takes over the role. Hamilton is known for its diverse cast, and Leslie Odom Jr. says he's excited for the actors who will succeed him, especially those of color who have had no other venue to showcase their talents. And his fans can look forward to more of his smooth voice. He has signed a 4-album deal with S-Curve Records, BMG. In Washington, I'm David Byrd.
And that's going to wrap up another day and another week for us here at International Edition from the Voice of America. Remember, you can find us at voanews.com. You can like us on Facebook, or maybe not, VOA Now. Follow us on Twitter at VOA_IE. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to our director, Patrice Martin. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Enjoy your weekend.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Human trafficking is a heinous crime that happens almost everywhere and affects virtually everyone. According to the International Labor Organization, more than 20 million people around the world are victims of human trafficking, which has also been called modern slavery. Human trafficking is the exploitation of someone for the purpose of compelled labor or commercial sex through the use of force, fraud, or coercion. Forms of human trafficking include sex trafficking, forced labor, debt bondage, and domestic servitude. When a person younger than 18 is subjected to prostitution, it is considered child sex trafficking even without any demonstration of force, fraud, or coercion. The U.S. Department of State's Trafficking in Persons, or TIP, report was released in Washington, D.C. on June 30, 2016, and Thailand was upgraded to the Tier 2 watch list. The 2016 TIP report covers government's anti-trafficking efforts from April 1, 2015 through March 31, 2016. The Tier 2 watchlist ranking indicates that the government of Thailand made significant efforts to eliminate trafficking during the rating period, but still does not fully meet the minimum standards for doing so. The Tier 2 watchlist ranking underscores that the problem of human trafficking in Thailand remains large and requires additional, substantial, and effective government leadership. We encourage Thailand to make further sustained progress in fighting trafficking and enforcing Thai anti-trafficking laws. The report includes a list of recommendations specific to the trafficking issues in Thailand that we believe will help the government make progress. We encourage the government to implement those recommendations fully. The U.S. government is committed to working closely with the government and the people of Thailand to address this significant challenge. U.S. government agencies and law enforcement officials remain partners to the government and civil society in Thailand as they work to end human trafficking.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. If you have a comment, please write to Editorials, VOA, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You may also comment and view all our current editorials at the VOA Editorials homepage.